Penguin Audio presents Harvesting the Heart by Jodi Picco, read by Cassandra Campbell. Prologue. Page. Nicholas won't let me into my own house, but I have been watching my family from a distance. So even though I've been camping out on the front lawn, I know exactly when Nicholas takes Max into the nursery to change his diaper. The light switches on. It's a little dinosaur lamp that has a shade printed with prehistoric bones, and I see the silhouette of my husband's hands stripping away the Pampers. When I left 3 months ago, I could have counted on one hand the number of times Nicholas had changed a diaper. But after all, what did I expect? He had no choice. Nicholas has always been a master at emergency situations. Max is babbling, strings of syllables that run together like bright beads. Curious, I stand up and climb the low branches of the oak that stands closest to the house. With a little bit of effort, I can pull myself up so that my chin is level with the sill of the nursery. I have been in the dark for so long that when the yellow light of the room washes over me, I keep blinking. Nicholas is zipping up Max's blanket sleeper. When he leans close, Max reaches up, grabs his tie, and stuffs it in his mouth. It is when Nicholas pulls the tie away from our son that he sees me at the window. He picks up the baby and deliberately turns Max's face away. He strides over to the window, the only one close enough to look into, and stares at me. Nicholas does not smile. He does not speak. Then he pulls the curtains closed so that all I can see is a line of balloons and ponies and elephants playing trombones. All the smiling images I painted and prayed to when I was pregnant, hoping fairy tales could calm my fears and guarantee my son a happy childhood. On this night when the moon is so white and heavy that I cannot sleep without fearing I will be crushed, I remember the dream that led me to my missing mother. Of course, I know now that it was not a dream at all, that it was true, for whatever that is worth. It is a memory that started coming after Max was born, the first night after his delivery, then the week we brought him home, sometimes several times a night. More often than not, I would be picturing this memory when Max awakened, demanding to be fed or changed or taken care of, and I am embarrassed to say that for many weeks I did not see the connection. The watermarks on the ceiling of my mother's kitchen were pale and pink and shaped like purebred horses. "There," my mother would say, pointing over our heads as she held me on her lap. "Can you see the nose, the braided tail?" We called each other's attention to our horses daily. At breakfast, while my mother unloaded the dishwasher, I'd sit on the formica countertop and pretend the fine china chime of bowl against mug was a series of magical hoofbeats. After dinner, when we sat in the dark, listening to the bump and grind of the laundry and the double-stacked washer and dryer, my mother would kiss the crown of my head and murmur the names of places our horses would take us. Telluride, Scarborough, Jasper. My father, who at that time was an inventor moonlighting as a computer programmer, would come home late and find us asleep, just like that, in my mother's kitchen. I asked him several times to look, but he never could see the horses. When I told this to my mother, she said that we'd just have to help him. She held me high on her shoulders one day as she balanced on a low stool. She handed me a black marker with the powerful scent of licorice and told me to trace what I saw. Then I colored the horses with the crayons from my Walmart 64 pack. One brown with a white star, one a strawberry roan, two bright orange dappled Appaloosas. My mother added the muscular forelegs, the strain of the backs, the flying jet manes. Then she pulled the butcher block table to the center of her kitchen and lifted me onto it. Outside, summer hummed, the way it does in Chicago. My mother and I lay beside each other, my small shoulder pressed to hers, and we stared up at these stallions as they ran across the ceiling. "Oh, Paige," my mother sighed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?